we went on vacation to the mountains of North Carolina. And the pictures on the website looked great. Cute little cottage. It was going to be great. Our little kids, Levi was still like in a little bucket carrier, and it was awesome. And so as new parents, we literally packed everything in our car but the kitchen sink. Like, you packed the crib and the pack and play. I mean, the car had everything you could possibly have in it. And so we are driving. We finally get to the mountains of North Carolina, and we get to this cottage, and it's not easily accessible. So it is up a hill and has a hairpin turn. So we, you know, and on the side was like this really drop off. Like, it was big. So we start to drive up, trying to navigate this turn. Now, the car is driving, and then the car starts to slide backwards, right? And there's a huge ravine on the side. Christy and I are stressed in the front seat, and all of a sudden we hear this little voice from the back say, "Uh-oh, car, uh-oh, car." And there's Levi. I told you I was going to talk about you today. And he's like, "Uh-oh, car." And we're like, "What is happening right now? We're falling off a ledge," and he's saying, "Uh-oh, car." Well, we could not make it up that hill. We could not stay at that place. And so thankfully, we found another place, and it was a wonderful place. But the promise that this advertising company made about how easily accessible this little cottage was, well, that really didn't come true. And probably all of us can relate to somebody or something that has made a promise to us that didn't happen. And I tell you that because I want you to know that you can trust the promises of God. That when God makes a promise, it is true. The power and the purpose of God's promises are for our good. And so we're going to take a look at our second essential to grow closer to God and to live out our faith, and that is being in the Word of God. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to open up to 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young protege, somebody that he has poured himself into, somebody that he's loving and trying to encourage, kind of a spiritual father to Timothy. And so now he's been talking to him, and he says these words in verses 14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And Paul has been talking to Timothy that if you want to be a Christ follower, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be this easy road. You're going to deal with persecution. And Paul dealt with a lot of persecution. In fact, right before the verses that we read, Paul talks about how God had saved him from persecution and from trials and from difficulties. And so he's writing to Timothy to warn him, don't be deceived by false teachers. Don't let people tell you that you don't need this to have a relationship with God. Don't be deceived by people who say that God's promises aren't real. So what Paul is trying to tell Timothy and what we can take is, how do we navigate a world filled with fake news so that we understand the good news of the gospel? And so what Paul asks Timothy to do, he asks him to reflect on those people in his life that have invested in him. Who are the people that have invested in pouring themselves and the Word of God into you? Think about that. And for Timothy, it was his grandmother, it was his mother, and now it was his spiritual father, Paul. And he says, remember the way that they poured into you. They taught you the Word of God. They taught you the promises of God to the point where you became convinced that, yes, God is real and God's promises are true and God is faithful. He says, you became convinced of that. And in a time when people were trying to modify or compromise the Word of God, which isn't very different than our world today, when people try to tell you, well, you can ignore the Bible when it says this, or you don't have to believe the Bible when it says that, Timothy said, I am convinced that God's word, God's promises are true. Now, when the Holy Scriptures that Paul is talking to Timothy about would have primarily been the Old Testament, because the New Testament was unfolding and being written. And so the Old Testament, and a lot of people don't realize this, the Old Testament points to the Messiah. I remember the first church that I was called to pastor, and we had a very young church secretary, and she was asked to go to a meeting one night. And she came back from that meeting the next day, and she says, "Pastor, I got to tell you something." I said, "What?" She goes, "Do you know that there are two testaments?" She says, "There's an old and there's a new." I said, "We got a lot of work to do here, don't we?" But the Old and the New Testament are connected. The Old Testament points to the Messiah coming, and the New Testament shows the Messiah coming. The New Testament doesn't make sense without the Old Testament. And the Old Testament doesn't make sense without the New Testament. They go together. They're stories of how God's promises are true. Let me read you one of those from Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" Friends, we are saved because of Jesus. That's a promise that you can believe in. That when God says, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your sins are forgiven. You are saved. The slate is wiped clean. Paul was telling the church at Rome that, and he was telling Timothy, it is so important and so profitable for you to build your life on God's word. Don't build your life on religion. Don't build your life on church. Don't build your life on anything but Jesus Christ and the word of God. That's what Paul was telling Timothy, that when you understand truth and you know God's truth, you're going to grow closer to God and you're going to be living out your faith in a way. Do you know how Timothy became a follower of Jesus? It wasn't because he went to a particular church. He wasn't a part of a youth group that raised him the right way. He became a Christ follower because of his family, because of his mother, because of his grandmother. They said it is essential for our son and grandson to know the word of God, to know the promises of God, to know the truth of God. It was an essential tenet of every parent's mindset that children knew the word of God. Now, in our culture today, we are told that's not essential anymore. What we are told is essential are sports and technology and fashion and all of the things that our world says, well, that's essential for your child. And the word of God isn't essential. We have so turned upside down the priorities, right? The thing that is essential, God's word, has become non-essential in our world. And the things that are non-essential in our world have become essential in our world. See, Timothy came to know the value of God's word in his home. Because God commanded in the scriptures for parents to teach their children the word. There was no Sunday school. There was no sleepaway camp. There was just parents teaching their children the word of God. And Timothy learned it from infancy so that he would be prepared. See, it's not just enough to hear the word of God. It's to commit to the word of God. Think about what God told Joshua when Joshua was overwhelmed taking over for Moses concerning the word of God. He says, "Do not turn from the left or to the right of this. Always have this on your lips." Think about temptation. How did Jesus handle the temptation of the devil in the desert? He quoted him scripture. And what does Paul say? That the word is living and it dwells in our hearts. See, when you know the promise of God, when you know the word of God, you understand the expectations of God. Expectations are important in your job, in anything you do. You've got to know, what are the expectations here? And if you don't know God's word, you don't know God's expectations. And you may think, I've got to be good enough, I've got to be religious enough, or I've got to do enough good things, and then God will finally love me. That's not the expectation. The expectation is not perfection. The expectation is submission to God, to say, God, I'm a hot mess, and God, I need you, and God says, I've got you. That's what God's word tells us. Timothy saw the word of God lived out by his mother and grandmother. He could see how the word of God was changing them. If people were to look at our lives, would they see the word of God? Would they see the word of God changing how we live? Changing the decisions that we make? But God's word calls us to that in every possible way. Now understand that Paul or Timothy's mother and grandmother and even Paul were secondary sources of God's grace in Timothy's life. It was the Holy Spirit. But there will be no transformation in Timothy without application. You cannot be transformed until you apply God's word. You can come and hear God's word every week, But until you apply God's word to your life, you will never be transformed. And I know this because I did this. I went to church for years, and I heard homilies, and I heard sermons. But until I applied it, there was no change in my life. I was just sitting there waiting until the guy was done talking. I hope none of you are doing that right now. We have to apply the word of God. And look, if you don't want your life to change, if you don't want transformation in your life, then don't read the word of God. But I want to warn you, if you read the word of God every day, it will change you. It will change your marriage. It will change your kids. It'll change your future. It will change everything about you because God's word will transform. It says in Isaiah that when God's word goes forth, it will have its desired effect like the snow and the rain that comes down, that God's word will prove what it needs to prove. And what we see from God's word is it leads us to a place that says, I need to be saved. I need salvation because I'm a sinner. I keep messing up. If you read the word of God, you'll be convicted to say, man, I need Jesus. But if you don't read the word of God, you'll never think that you need Jesus. You'll be like, I am such a good person. I'm religious. I'm nice. I don't need Jesus. The Bible will teach you that we need Jesus. There's a great story. Probably my favorite book in all of the Bible is the book of Nehemiah from the Old Testament. It's a great book on leadership. And the people of God were struggling, and they lived in a city that had a wall around it. And that wall had crumbled. And so they were vulnerable for attack. So how would Ezra and Nehemiah, how would they get the people to come together to rebuild the wall, but really to rebuild their faith? Do you know what he did? He got the people around the word of God. See, revival begins with the word of God. Without the word of God, there can be no revival in our hearts, no revival in our marriages, no revival in our community. So Nehemiah got all the people together, and this is what it says in Nehemiah 9. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their place and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were, and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. That's 6 hours, so this is going to look really good to you guys today. For a quarter of the day, spent another quarter of the day, another 6 hours, in confession and in worshiping the Lord our God. They gathered around the word. They confessed their sins. They praised and they worshiped God. Revival begins in the word of God. If you want revival in your relationship with God, start in the word. If you want revival in your marriage, start in the word of God. If you want revival in your relationship with kids, start in the word of God. Because the promises of God are true. And let me be really clear. Reading the Bible will not save you. Because if you just read the Bible like you're reading a book, you might as well just go to the beach and have a summer book. But you have to apply it. You have to read it, and then you have to apply it. If not, you're just reading. And what the Bible is, it is inerrant. It is perfect. It is the word of God, and it is sufficient for everything. We can trust the promises of God. You may say, uh-oh, car, but you'll never say, uh-oh, God. Because God's promises are true. And God's promises have great power. And we know that they have great power because of what Paul tells Timothy. They are God-breathed. That means that God has authored them. They have come forth from God. God has given these words life. When you go back to the book of Genesis and you see how Adam came to life, God formed him out of the dirt and then breathed into him, and Adam became alive. When God breathes on something, when God breathes something out, it has life. And so God breathed the scriptures. And yes, men and women wrote the Bible, but they were inspired by God and the Holy Spirit to write exactly what God wanted them. They had divine origin. Every word in the Bible is from God. Every word in the Bible is about God. A lot of people like to read the Bible and think it's about me. The Bible isn't about us, but the Bible is for us. It's a revelation of who God is. The Bible can change an unbeliever to a believer. It says in 1 Peter, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." It is the word of God that convicts us of our sin and makes us realize we need Jesus. We absolutely have to have Jesus. And the Bible really is a revelation about who God is. If you want to know who God is, read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you learn about God's truth, that God cannot lie. You'll learn about God's character, his loving, caring, compassionate character. You learn about God's attributes of mercy and justice. And you'll learn about God's divine plan for redemption through Jesus Christ. See, the Bible, it's not just bedtime stories that we tell our kids so their tummies don't rumble. The Bible's the Word of God. The God who made the sun rise and the moon set, this is his story that we have an opportunity to say, I want to learn about who God is. There's a wonderful psalm, and I wish we had the time, but write this down and go read this later. Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a powerful psalm because it really talks about the Word of God. It describes the Word of God as this: God's law, testimony, precept, commandments, reverence, and judgments. And then it says, these are the characteristics of God's words. It is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. God's word is not only the promise of God, but it is the power of God. And the purpose of that is to lead us to a place where we realize we need Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I read the Bible, I'm like, I need Jesus because I'm a mess. And that's what God's word does. And so what Paul was telling Timothy is you can trust the promise of God, you can know the power of God, and God has a purpose for his word. He goes on to talk about how the Bible will teach us. We neglect the teaching of God's word at our own peril. When we say, I don't want to learn it, I'm not going to learn it, or as my grandmother used to say, oh, I've read that book, I know everything. My grandmother didn't read that book, and my grandmother didn't know everything. But she thought she had known enough. When we say, I don't want to learn about God, I don't want to learn about his word, we do so at our own peril. You know, I'll say this because it's Father's Day. Fathers, we don't need to read instructions on anything because we can just put anything together, right? We're dads. Those instructions aren't for us. But we do so at our own peril when it comes to the word of God. See, Paul was seeing what Timothy would experience, what you and I experience, which is the downward spiral of our culture. Because we have abandoned the Word of God. We say we don't need the Word of God. The Word of God has nothing to tell us. But when you don't have the Word of God and you have false teaching, then you have ungodly living. When we reject and neglect the Word of God, and look, the world will reject the Word of God. They're supposed to. But the people of God, we should never neglect the Word of God, or it will lead us down a path. See, what the Word of God does, and we don't like this, it rebukes us. When our character is out of line with God's will, it rebukes us. That's why Paul said this to the church in Galatia. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That's the social gospel that we see today, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody's preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let them be under God's curse. If you are saved, if you are a Christ follower, you know the power of God's word. And you know how the world is trying to pervert it, trying to change it, trying to diminish it in any way. And what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia, stand firm in the promise of God. Stand in the power of God and don't let anybody change it. If you want to grow closer to God and live out your faith, and I'm assuming you do because you're here, stay in the Word of God. Stand firm in the Word of God. Because what I found in my life, not only does the Bible rebuke, but the Bible corrects me. Because I've built up this little fortress of sin, maybe you've done the same thing, where I can justify every sin in my life. And I can say, well, at least I'm not killing somebody, or I'm not doing this. And I can tell you that every sin in my life is justifiable. But what the Word of God does is it tears down that big cocoon, that wall of sin that we say, hey, I'm okay because I'm not doing what they're doing. We don't like the fact that the Bible will correct us. The Bible will get us back on the right path. It says in Psalm 119, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. when we listen and obey the word of God, it will change how we live. It'll get us on the right path. It says also that the word of God will train you. Some people say, well, how do I live as a Christ follower in today's world? There's so much pressure. There's so much stress. There's so much strain. And you're right, there is. It's hard. It's really hard to be a Jesus follower today. That's why the Bible trains our hearts. It trains our minds. It helps us understand how God wants us to live. Personal training is a billion-dollar business. And people have personal trainers. During COVID, personal trainers would come to your house. They would help you get in physical shape, and that's great. But the Word of God is the ultimate personal trainer when it comes to growing closer to God and living out our faith. If you hired a personal trainer to get you in shape, and every time they came over to your house, you said, no, not today, and you closed the door. And then 6 months later, you say, why am I not in better shape? Well, you've closed the door every time the trainer came over. That's what we do when we close the Bible. We say, not today, God. I don't want to get in spiritual shape. But if you want to get in spiritual shape, if you want to grow closer to God, and let me tell you, there's so much more closeness that you and I can have with God. As close as you think you are with God, you can be even closer. I always try to put this in a marriage context. Remember the first date you had with your spouse. You might have been in awe. You might have thought, they are so attractive, like Christy thought when we went out on the date. She couldn't get over it, the luscious hair that I had. But where are you at today? How much closer are you to your spouse today? And maybe you didn't think you could get closer after that first date or first month or first year or 10-year anniversary, but you're closer now. Why? Because you spend time together every day. You work through things every day. When we're with God, we grow closer to God. We develop spiritual discipline. We get in shape. And why do we do all this? Paul ends it with this: so that we are fully equipped to do the good works that God calls us to. Do you ever have that feeling where you don't feel prepared for something? Like you're not ready. Like, I didn't have enough time and I don't know how to do it. Like for vacation, I haven't packed. And did I pack this? I don't know if I'm ready. Did we forget this? Did we forget that? We forgot nothing when we went to North Carolina other than the kitchen sink, right? We wanted to make sure we had everything no matter what happened. But sometimes you feel the opposite way. Like, I don't have it. The Bible will get us fully equipped for whatever comes up. And we don't know what's going to come up. But when we accept the Word of God, when we apply the Word of God, we will be fully equipped to handle whatever today or tomorrow or next week comes. And let's be clear, the Bible is not a self-help book. The Bible is a God-help book. There's a difference between self-help and God-help. God's help is perfect. Ours is absolutely flawed. And look, we gather and then we go. And here's how this feeds into going. We cannot equip other people to follow Jesus until we ourselves are equipped. And how are we equipped? We're in the Word of God. That is the second essential if we're going to grow closer to God and live out our faith. The first is worship, and the second is being in the Word of God. If you remember nothing else that I've said, remember this when it comes to the Word of God. It will make you wise for salvation, and it will thoroughly equip you for every good work. If you want to be wise when it comes to salvation, be in the Word. If you want to be equipped for every good work, be in the Word of God. Amen? As our worship team comes back up, I want to give you three things that you can talk about today, this week. Number one, do you know the promises of God's Word? Do you know that God has promised such a fantastic future for you and I? Have you experienced the power of God's Word, how it will change you and change your circumstance? And number three, do you understand the purpose of God's Word? That is to lead us to a place where it tells us we need Jesus and we need to accept Jesus. Amen?